Hello and welcome to a podcast brought to you by The Religion of Aston Villa.
We're a social media account on Twitter and Facebook that wants to get our voices out there and heard, so please join us. Hello guys and welcome to another podcast. This is the Leicester preview. I am joined with Callum. I know we've only just done the Man City review, but the games are thick and fast being that time of year. So as we go into the fixture, I mean, obviously we did come away with a defeat against Man City, but it kind of felt like we took something from it with the way we played. So with that being said, what is your lineup? Do you change anything or do you leave it as it is?
Well, Gerrard's made two changes in the last two games. Are we away from home this time? No, we're at home. We're at home, so you'd want us to be playing kind of on the front foot. It'll be interesting to see if he sticks with his 4-3-3 or if he tries to match Leicester with a 4-2-3-1, which they've been playing quite a lot recently. I think it might just be near enough the same, to be honest. Obviously, Bailey will not be involved due to him being out for quite some time. The only real change I can see is probably Ashley Young going to left back and keeping Target just for the Liverpool game. That's the only one, really. I mean, Jacob Ramsey might come back in for Louise, but after Louise's second half performance, I think he deserves a space in the starting 11. So, for me, I think there'll only be one change, and that'll be to keep Target okay going forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be the exact same. Obviously, with what he can select rather than what he wants to select. I think, like you said, there'll just be a forced change in Young playing left-back rather than Target. I think everything else will be the same. And obviously Bailey probably won't be fit, which I could... I'd be interested to see if Carney gets the nod or whether he goes back to Ramsey, because he did say in the press conference after the City game that he was... Ramsey had a bit of a knock, so that's why he didn't come on and he didn't start. So maybe you probably see Ramsey coming in for Bailey. And also be interested to see what he does with Ings, because obviously if Ings is back, then you might see Watkins push wide again and Ings through the middle. But obviously he scored, so you'd probably argue the fact that he has to start up front. He'd expect it to go, because obviously Leicester, they're not doing the best this season, but they've still got enough to put most teams away.
Yeah, they're obviously they're a little bit lower down probably than other people would have suggested going off previous years, but they're still a dangerous team. They've still got very good players. Unfortunately for us, some of their best players are coming back into form. So you look at, James Maddison had a very good game in midweek against Southampton, even though they drew. Look, the only thing going for is Leicester have Napoli in the Europa League on the Thursday. So maybe they're going to have one eye on that. Who knows? But they're a team that concede goals, though. They're a team that definitely concede goals. They've conceded two goals in the last two games in the Premier League, and that was against Watford and Southampton. They've not kept a clean sheet. Possibly this season in the league. I'm trying to see, the last time they kept a clean sheet was the first game of the season, and that was against Wolves. So hopefully we go into this. We've got confidence, obviously, apart from the Man City game. They're missing some players, which they would have loved to have had, but they're still going to be tough. They're in good. Team and Brendan Rodgers done a good job there, getting them structurally sound and attacking wise. They've been pretty good and quite dangerous going forward. And if you look at the last meetings between us, You know, the last time we beat Leicester was in the FA, in the EFL Cup, or the, you know, the Carabao Cup or whatever. And the last time we beat them in the league was in 2014. So, yeah.
Well, that's the thing is because there's quite, like you said, that they've had some injuries and things like that, but they're not doing the best. So I do feel like they are one of those sides that are suffering from playing European football, you know, where they the games become thick and fast in the league and abroad. And, you know, to go into, I mean, every club dreams of European football, but you normally find it affects their domestic league because obviously, especially if you have a small squad, I'm not saying they have, but you know, they haven't, you know, they've not got like a side like a City or a Chelsea where
I mean look at the time when they won the title the season after they nearly got relegated.
Yeah, exactly. So that, you know, that they are suffering because of European football, and I have no doubt that once, you know, if they do get knocked out of that competition, you know, you'll start to see them climb the league like most clubs do.
But like when you talk about, you know, our fixtures coming thick and fast, Leicester have 9 fixtures in December.
Yeah, there you go. Just ties in with what I said. But I do think, like I say, still, they've still got a lot of quality players. They've still got Jamie Vardy. Everyone knows he is one of the best strikers in the league.
And he loves a goal against us. So does Ian Accio.
Yeah, Ian Accio. Yeah, James Maddison as well is a very good player. Harvey Barnes, I think, can be a bit underrated. Ndidi is a very good midfielder, solid. Sumar's doing very well there. You know, they've got some top players that are there, and even on the bench, you know, they've got like Vestergaard, who used to play for Southampton. I thought he was quite a good signing just to have off the bench. Daka as well, brilliant. And obviously our old mate Mark Albrighton being there. Hopefully he gets a round of applause just like Jack did. But yeah, okay. But yeah, like you said, he has done a very good job there, and you know, he's a very, very good top coach, in my opinion. I think he's done very well. I think he's built a very good side. But hopefully, you know, come Sunday, you know, we put them to the sword. But like I say, just speaking a little bit on Leicester, like you said, they have won the league, so they have got a title that not many have got in their cabinet. But yeah, I mean, between the two sides, what would, if you had to build a side between the two, who would you go for? If you go for a starting 11, I'm going to go 4-3-3. I don't know how you're going to build, whether you're going to go a Leicester 4-2-3-1. But what would your, if you had to combine the sides, what would you go?
I will go 4-2-3-1.
All right.
I love that formation. Go to on for manager as well. For goalkeeper, it's going to be Martinez.
Yeah, just for me as well, yeah.
Then back four, I'm going to go with, obviously with the current players that are available, not counting those that are injured. It would be Cash, then Mings. I'm possibly going to put Soyuncu in over Konsa, and then Target at left back. Things may have been different if Fofana or Ricardo Pereira was available, but they're out injured long term. Then in the holding, I'm going to have Ndidi and John McGinn. Again, could have been different if Youri Tielemans is fit. We don't know if he's going to play or not, but if he doesn't play, that's a massive bonus for us. Great
massive
player in midfield.
Absolute huge.
And then I'm going to go Barnes, Maddison and Buendia. And then I really want to put in an Ollie Watkins, but I just don't think you can knock the pedigree that Jamie Vardy has had over the last few years. And, you know, he's a cracking player to say he's, what, like 35 now? Or
yeah,
something?
Yeah.
So, you know, that'd be my team.
I'm going to go, to be fair, I'm going to have to go 4-2-3-1 as well. Just looking at it. Yeah, Martinez, pretty much on the same as you, but I'd swap Target. I know Casaniga's a right back, but I'm putting him left back. I think he's absolutely top quality, but I am loving Cash at the moment. So sorry, Casaniga, you have to push you at left back, but I know you'll do me a job. and Ndidi and
Nakamba.
Yeah, no. I'll go McGinn. And then the midfield three, I'm going to go Watkins on the left. Watkins on the left, Maddison in the middle, and Barnes on the right. And up top, Jamie Vardy. It was a toss-up between him and Ings. But if we're going to work on fit players, I'd have to go Vardy because we don't know, like you said about... If obviously Tielemans is fit, then Maddison stride out. Tielemans stride in. But yeah, Ings would be on the bench. I do love Ings, but Jamie Vardy's just different gravy, you know. Let's be honest. He's superb. But like I said, there is quite a lot of their players that I do like you said, like we said. But yeah, I mean, looking at it though, looking at the league table itself, we can actually leapfrog Leicester. And obviously, like you said a few years ago, that would mean you won the title. So it kind of shows you where every clubs are now. But what do you think? I mean, I think we can do them. I don't know about you, but what do you think?
I think it's obviously going to be a home advantage. It'd be nice to get a win because we need to kind of get away from that 16th, 15th kind of position. Obviously, their fixtures and their schedule won't help, and hopefully it will help us because they are away on Thursday. They have to travel to Napoli. So, you know, maybe, like I said earlier, one eye on that, you know, because I think they have to win that game to go through in the Europa League. Let me just have a look. Yeah, so they could still get knocked out of the Europa League. So obviously they want to stay in that as long as possible. So that might be one thing that plays in our favour, fingers crossed.
I think it will. I genuinely think we're not coming away with less than a point from that game.
I mean, if you'd probably given me a point before the game, I might take it as well, considering, you know, where Leicester have been over the last few years. And to say that, you know, we haven't beaten them in the league since 2014. We had a horrid time over COVID against them, you know, 4-1 and then 4-0 at our place and their place respectively. So, you know, it's... I think we just take the positives from the Man City game. We keep the confidence...
Go is on. That 2014 we last won at home? Because could we beat them last season 1-0? So I'm guessing that was away from home.
Oh, sorry, yeah, that was away from
home. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So just in case people was listening and thinking, yeah, he did what he was on about.
Oh, yeah, because that was Ross Barkley, wasn't it?
Yeah, Ross Barkley 1-0, like 92nd, was it? Something like 88, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. Just wanted to clear it up for people listening.
So, yeah, last time we beat him at home was in 2014, or... If you want to say any competition, then 2020, the FA Carabao Cup game. But I think we could do them. You know, we take the confidence in from the last two games before Man City. And, you know, if, you know, we're missing a few players. Bailey dropping out does not help at all our situation. It means we're short in the wide areas again. I know Trezeguet is supposed to be playing some minutes with the under-23s, but I'm not sure when that is. So I can't see Gerrard risking him, putting him on the bench. I mean, yeah. You said about putting Chukwuemeka on, but I think it's going to have to be more of a winger that comes into play.
Yeah.
We might see Cameron Archer on the bench this time, who knows. But I mean, maybe even Philogene Badins, maybe he gets a run out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can probably say, if I'm honest, I think...
It'll probably be El Ghazi.
Yeah, I think it's going to be El Ghazi. I think he's going to go back to winning ways. And I think he hadn't... I mean, when he brought... I didn't want to really talk about Man City, but I will do, just because we're talking about Chukwuemeka a little bit. I think he gave Chukwuemeka... I thought he'd bring on El Ghazi rather than Chukwuemeka. I did. I thought he'd bring on old heads just to get that point. And if I'm honest, I don't think El Ghazi would have missed that chance, if I'm honest. However, you know, you live and learn, you die by the sword, you know, it is one of them. But he kind of had an excuse to play Chukwuemeka, if that makes sense, even though no one expects nothing from it, you know, no pressure, easy game. But I think he's going to want to get back to winning ways. So it'll be interesting to see if he's going to have as much faith in the kids as he says, you know, because, you know, you're going to put your hands in, you know, put your results in their hands, then, you know, it'd be good to see if he does that. It'd be nice if he does, but if he doesn't, I wouldn't blame him.
But I also think that the youngsters are going to have to take a step back a little bit. You know, they were used to, you know, getting minutes left, right, and centre under Smith.
Yeah.
And Gerrard's now come in and he wants a top half finish. And I think unless you prove it to him to be in that first team squad, then you're not going to get in. Obviously, you've got the likes of Jacob Ramsey, but he's been in the first team for what? I mean, he's made 40 appearances now, or 50 appearances or something like that.
So he's pretty much a senior now. As much as, you know, you think he's still a youngster, like you said, he's done nearly, what, 40, 50 appearances. So he's as good as most seniors now. I still don't think he's perfectly ready to start week in, week out.
If you look at Smith's, you know, benches before he left, you constant figures on that bench would be Chukwuemeka, even Aaron Ramsey, Cameron Archer, Philogene Badintz, and, you know, all of them are not on there anymore. So, you know, obviously they need to be given time to prove themselves. But I also think Gerrard is more of a, oh, we need action and we need the best team. And even though they might have great potential in all of them, they're not for us right now. And, you know, that is something that we have needed for a long time, because we've always been we all love a youth player, but it's about bringing them in at the right time and making sure they're the right fit for the team. And if they're not, then, you know, you keep them in the first team picture, why not, you know, like he is doing with Chukwuemeka. But it needs to be the right time for those to come in and implement their attributes and their traits and help us on our way.
Well, yeah, because that's the thing, it's horses for courses, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of you just got to make sure you pick the right squad. You know, youth can't be expected to start every game, but then, you know, they still shouldn't feel like they're never going to start. Do you know what I mean? You just got to find that healthy balance between the two. But like, over the years, I mean, like you said, we all love a youngster coming through. And Villa fans, I don't know if it's just us or everybody else, but we kind of overzealous when it comes to like a youth player. Like, we give them so much time, and like when they don't start, it's like, oh, where come you not starting him, you know, he's the future of this club. And, you know, they turn out to be like Johnny Ogg, you know what I mean,
or Rashaan Hedburn Murphy,
or Nathan D'Alfonso, you know, who's going to be the, you know, the next Wayne Rooney, or better than Wayne Rooney in his prime. You know what I mean? Like, we will give them time, but sometimes a bit too much, you know. I thought Vyman stayed longer than he should have. Players like that, do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to make sure you've got a healthy balance between proper seniors you've bought, and then you've got players that you're nurturing and bringing through. And hopefully, you know, we see that happen, because it has been. And, you know, Perslow's always said that the academy is, you know, the backbone of this club, and what we want to do is buy in the best youth and then bring them through, and then we don't have to keep spending gazillions of pounds on players because we bought them far less and then, you know, nurtured them the Villa way. But we'll see what happens. Like I say, it'd be interesting what he does, whether who makes a bench, who doesn't, who starts, who doesn't. Like I say, it's still early doors of the Gerrard era, but to be fair, the last three games you can't really grumble. You know, it's been good, you know, from where we were beforehand. As much as I love Smith, you know, we were going on a downward slope, and now we're slowly picking up, and now talking as though, you know, we're going to get, I'm talking specifically, not much so much yourself, but saying we're going to at least walk away with a point. So on that, what will be your scoreline and scorers? Unless you go 0-0, then obviously.
I was thinking about doing 1-1, but I'm going to go 2-1 Villa. I'm going to go... I didn't get any scorers right last game, did I? I'm going to go 4... Watkins, I think he'll carry on. And then I'm going to go Buendia, why not?
Yeah, I think you might be right. I think it's going to be 2-1. My prediction is going to be 2-1, but I think Iheanacho will score first, and then I think in the second half we're going to come out guns blazing like we did against City, and I think Watkins is going to get a brace. So put your money on the table, guys, because that's the prediction, that's what's going to happen. Thank you guys for listening. It is a quick one, like I said, the games are coming thick and fast, so hopefully
when we come for the Leicester review. It's going to be a good one and a positive one. Thank you guys for listening, and up the Villa.